Hey guys, it's Tom from South of Eden. You're listening to Jay Scott on The Hook Rocks, and be sure to stream our new album, Table of Four.
I've been stuck in my dreams, running aimlessly around. Feels like flying, but inside dying, about to hit the ground. Time to wake up, light like a feather, trust the voice inside, get yourself together.
Welcome back. It's Jay Scott. It's The Hook Rocks. Thanks for tuning in once again. Always appreciate when you come by and give us a listen. Don't forget to write us a review. When you're done listening to this episode, let us know what you think. We always appreciate the feedback. Of course, we're part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, a network of great music-related podcasts. So check out all the podcasts on Pantheon Pods. There's something there for everybody. You can check them out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Pantheon Pods, as well as The Hook Rocks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Hook Rocks. We've had some great episodes for you lately, and that's why it's so important for you to set your app for automatic download so you get the latest episode right to your phone. We just had Jared James Nichols. We've had Dax Nielsen and Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick, Richie Kotzen from The Winery Dogs. We had some great new bands like Austin Mead and Abby Kay and Dead Blonde Stars and Empire all in the New Music Spotlight. They've all got new music coming out or have just released new music. We had Ace Von Johnson from LA Guns and Sam Bam Colton from the band Dorothy. Also, as well, talking the business side of music. We also did a feature on Live Nation and Ticketmaster and the monopoly that it is and what the U.S. Senate is currently doing to help stop the manipulation of the initial sales of tickets and on the secondary market too. And we did a live album review of Rush Exit Stage Left and also had Baz from Massive Wagons, the great UK band, as well as South of Eden, great new band out of Columbus, Ohio. Our next guest, I never expected to do this episode. They're formerly of a band that I absolutely loved and was excited to see them open up for Scorpions in Chicago back in the fall, late summer maybe. And I got to tell you, Chicago's a tough crowd to win over, especially if you're an unknown. And watching the crowd react to the band open up for the Scorpions was a great sight to see. From the beginning, where a lot of people were sitting on their hands, to the end where people were on their feet, about 16,000 people were rocking out to the band called Thunder Mother. Fast forward several months later, I wake up and I see the news on social media that three of the members are no longer in the band. And we're going to get into that discussion. We're going to talk about that and what happened and what's going on now. We've got lots to talk about with Mona, Emily, and Guernica, formerly of Thunder Mother, now of The Gems. And I'd like to welcome these three fantastic ladies to The Hook Rocks. What's happening? What's going on?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, can you hear us all clearly?
We can hear. Yeah, I can hear you all clearly. Thanks for doing this.
Awesome.
I did not expect to have this conversation, but here we are. We've got lots to talk about. Why don't we begin with what you guys have been doing now as The Gems? And even before that, Guernica and Mona, with your solo stuff, the singles that you put out a few months ago. Why don't we begin there?
All right. What do you want to know?
Well, the song that you did and the song that Mona did, you know, was this done after the tour with Scorpions? Was it done prior on a break that you guys, you know, waited on releasing and then released it after the tour?
Well, my song I had recorded and prepared before the tour. And I think that's the same for you, Mona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recorded my song before the tour. But the problem was that Micke, Gedica's boyfriend, was supposed to do the video, and he came to the tour, like the whole tour, so he didn't have the video, so he couldn't finish the music video, so I released it after. But the plan was to release it during the tour, but it was totally fine anyway.
Yeah, and me too. Like, for me, it was just, I prepared the song, and then I thought, perfect, after the tour, releasing a solo song, because we were going to re-release the Thunder Mother album, Black and Gold, in August. So I thought, timing-wise, then it had been out for maybe 3-4 months. And why not release some solo stuff then? So that was my plan, and the girls were on board. And yeah, we were a happy family. Not just kidding.
One big happy family, like the Brady Bunch. Oh, which is a show here, an old show here in the U.S. that
and we know the Brady Bunch
family. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you guys are writing that stuff and putting out the solo, you know, was this just what the music business is today, where you have a lot of different projects that you work on? I mean, you think of some of the bands in the U.S., for instance. You know, a lot of them are doing different things with different artists and releasing different albums and songs. And it's just kind of the way of the music business now.
Yeah, it wasn't really a big deal for any of us. It was just a natural, what's it called? Not process, but natural utveckling.
Development.
A development, you know, like I got signed 2021 for a solo thing, and I was like, why not? Super exciting. And there was no pressure put on me because they knew that Thunder Mother was my then number one project. But I just think, as a creative person, it's always fun to create and have that freedom to do that. Yeah,
definitely. I had my solo project long before I joined the Thumb Mother, and I always try to do shows and record stuff when I have time, you know. So it's just an ongoing project, and sometimes I have more time, so I can invest more in it. And sometimes we were on tour like for the whole summer with Thunder Mother. Then of course you can't, you don't have time enough to do anything else, basically.
And it had to be, you know, an interesting thing for both of you, because you know, this is kind of only you from start to finish, from creating to, you know, to writing, creating to going in the studio and making it. You know, how did that feel doing this on your own versus with a band?
I think both me and Mona have very different experiences, because I haven't really done this so before. I mean, I did 10 years ago, and that was too long ago. So for me, it was a very new experience. And it was comforting knowing that I wrote the song with Emily, our drummer. So it was still kind of like part of the family, and it wasn't too far off. But I think it's a great learning experience to like push yourself to be the one that decides, yeah, this is the final mix. These are, I want to have it this way or that way. That was, and it still is, very tough for me. Because usually when we do it in the band, I only need to fight for my own little things, like, can we, you know, whatever if that might be. But we always do it as a group thing. So now this was new, but it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You have experience. You're better at that, I think. Hello?
Yeah, I recorded the different projects, and it's fun. Like, you work totally different in each project, and with the Mona, it's more rough, and it's more with like playing. Like we recorded it live all together in one room, and that we never did with the Thunder Mother. Like you record one instrument at a time. But in this case, we recorded it all together. So, like, you need to play it right because you can't change anything. So we just picked one of the best takes, and then I put down the vocals after that, of course, because the sound is leaking a lot in our microphones. So. And, the bass, drums, and guitars were recorded in the same room, at the same time.
That's a pretty. It sounds like it's easy to record that way, right? To someone who's never been in a studio. But you really have to have the song down and pretty much ready to go, rehearsed a lot, because like you said, you know, it's hard to go back, you know, how you record it, I don't know, but I know when some people use tape to record, tape's expensive. And you're recording, you make a mistake on something that's recorded live, you know, you've got to start over again. You can't just take out one part of the one instrument or one person. You've got to redo it again. And if you're not prepared, it could be very expensive, very costly.
Yeah, like the three of us need to play every single note right. Because if one of us fucks up, we need to do another take, you know. But it's cool.
For both of you, when you think of this in doing this, obviously, Mona, you've done this before, but you know, how does this help when you do a solo project? How does it help you as an artist when you're in both a solo or have a solo project and a band at the same time? What are the benefits for an artist to do that?
I think
variation is, yeah. You develop a lot by doing different stuff, and I feel it's a release, to be able to like play some blues and just improvise sometimes. So, but like with Donovan, we play the same songs, the same way, the same set list for a whole summer, basically. So I think it's nice to just do something else, just write another song in another style or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I really enjoy pop rock and more, I guess, a commercial sounding rock. So for my solo projects, it was really fun to be able to do that and also showcase my range and do, you know, a little bit more and also be okay with my voice being the loudest thing in the mix.
Which that cannot happen in a band setting,
at least not in Thunder Mother.
I think that time will tell however good or bad it is. But for us, it's a creative freedom and it's fun to be able to have both. But I've always seen myself as a band player. Like, I love being part of a band. I love, you know, the whole camaraderie, the sisterhood of it all.
Same.
I love it when it works. So I don't know. It's weird, but I mean, I wouldn't mind say if one of my future solo singles would become a hit, that would be a dream come true as well. So, I mean, I feel like we're just leaving all doors kind of open and seeing where it takes us. And if I go ahead and focus more on my solo stuff eventually, these two are going to be my players regardless. So it's always going to be like this kind of familiar family vibe with us, at least.
I imagine it helps you as an artist, and it also helps the band that you're in, because, you know, when you are in a band, you have those moments where you all bring songs to the table. You bring music that you've been working on and creating, and sometimes what you want doesn't fit what the band is doing or what the band's sound is like. So having a solo career kind of gives you that outlet to go and do those things that maybe you can't do within a band because of the style or whatever the case is. So
exactly,
it's a benefit for both. I think, you know, I think when you have an outlet for each of you to do that, coming back into the band and coming back when you're creating, it almost, you kind of know that you have an outlet in case something doesn't work within the band that you're in. So you have these singles released, you know, after the tour. The tour was a success for you guys, traveling North America for the first time. The show I went to was great. I know other people that went to the Thunder Mother shows during the tour had a blast watching you guys. When you get off the tour and you're preparing for the next part with Scorpions in the UK and Europe, and then what happens happened, or what happened happened, I should say. Was there any signs that this was coming?
No.
Not in the way it happened.
No. I mean, we've had, I've said this in other interviews, but it's not been a straightforward line of just like great times. It's just, we've just gotten used to the dynamic of it being like, it goes in circles. Like you have the love phase and the hate, you know, it's like this. And that's just something that we've gotten used to. So we knew that after the US tour, we were all kind of needing a break from each other for obvious reasons. No, nothing weird about that. And then it just took a turn that we never expected. It was just, it was way more drastic than we had ever expected. I mean, considering we've been in this for 6 years and it's not the first time people have been unhappy.
It was an intense tour. Like we lived in a bus for 2 months. I think whoever you would put in a bus, you would need a break after.
But do you think that has to do with her taking the decision on firing me?
No. But I just wanted to.
I think, what if that was the reason?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, bands have a history of not getting along. Some of the greatest bands of all time had issues within the band. I mean, I think of Van Halen. I think of the Rolling Stones. I think of pretty much every band has issues. And I think there are two types of bands. One band, you know, bands that can't handle that and they do what Thunder Mother did and have that happen, or bands learn to live with each other and realize that it's more of a business operation. And that works for a lot of bands. And I do agree with you, Mona, that, you know, being on a bus for 2 months, yeah, you're on top of each other. You know, you're seeing the same people all the time. You're doing the same things. Monotony can be a curse, just because you kind of get in a mode where you're kind of like a machine almost. And, you know, when you're together, like, yeah, there can be some friction. That's just human nature. I think for me, you know, the disappointment as a fan, you know, I just had done an episode with someone about my top 10 bands in 2023, like who's going to take another big step. And Thunder Mother was in my top five. And as was Joyous Wolf, and they're going through issues too. So I was like, man, maybe it's me. Maybe I cursed the bands. You know,
isn't that big Nick, the guy that I did interview with?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God, did you curse us? Damn you. I'm just kidding.
So Nick left Joyous Wolf. And, you know, prior to that being announced, you guys, you know, Thunder Mother announced. And I'm like, man, I'm like, I didn't understand as a fan. I'm just giving a fan's perspective.
Why did he leave the band? I'm curious.
That's for him to answer. That's for him to answer. I can't answer that. But as far as with Thunder Mother, it was so exciting to see you guys, you know, do what you did with the tour, and was looking forward to like the next step and what was going to happen and all this stuff. Like, the album was great. The last three albums are great. For me, I don't know a Thunder Mother before Guernica was in the band and before this current lineup. Like, I don't know any song before this period of the band. So excited for Black and Gold, you know, excited for the two previous albums prior to that. And things just kept building and building. And I was like, man, like, they're going to be able to do this, like come over to America and be successful. I thought, man, what a great first step. And then everything went to shit. And, you know,
we
just,
thought so too.
Just the, I mean, you know, like the worst time for this to happen for a band is, you know, coming over to North America, growing an audience in North America, exposing yourself in a successful way, and then this comes out of nowhere. So that's kind of my
one in a million chance.
Yeah,
that we got in America. I guess it's not easy to break into the U.S. market.
No, it's not, especially today. It's very difficult. Yeah. And
I'm gonna do what you said earlier about how there's different types of bands. I would say that us three, we're part of the band, the type that you mentioned, where you could work together regardless of if we want to see each other privately or not. So it's just sad that Filippa is part of that other group where she believes that she needs to be best friends with the people that she plays with.
Yeah, best friends all the time.
Yeah.
So that's not even possible.
No.
It's just,
it's an unrealistic thing, especially when you're actually getting to the point where we were, which is such a rare thing for a band, to just throw it away on, yeah, not being able to be professional. To me, is it's heartbreaking.
Mona and Emily, when it was determined that Guernica would no longer be in the band, you decided to go with Guernica. What was behind that decision?
I mean, for me, I never imagined being in the band without Guernica. And as soon as Filippa started to talk with us about, like, she couldn't work with Guernica anymore and stuff like that, she was starting to talk in a way that she was going to be the one deciding everything. And I just told her, like, if Guernica is not in the band, I'm not in the band. And actually, I was the first one to leave the band because it just started to get worse and worse. And she just made up things about Guernica that wasn't true, and I could just not take it anymore. So I told her to find a new drummer. And then a couple of days later, she sent an email to Guernica,
yeah,
telling her she's fired. And then she acted like I did not quit the band, you know. She was like, so can we have a meeting soon? I was like, why are you talking to me? I'm not in the band anymore.
She didn't take you seriously.
No, she did not. But I mean, I'm a person true to my words. And yeah, she learned it the hard way, I guess. For me, it's been me and Guernica. We really clicked since first time we met, and we've always been really good friends in the band through the years. And but also, like, I can't imagine a singer better than Guernica. So I want to be on the train that she's on, basically.
Oh, same.
I feel exactly the same. But I told her, like, it's the four of us that is the magic, so you can't do this. I'm out in that case.
I have to agree with that. I mean, you know, especially the last album, Black and Gold, which I thought was incredible. And, you know, in my opinion, when you find something like that, you don't want to mess with it, you know, and you have to find reasons to overcome whatever challenges that you have. And I just read a recent article with Phil Lewis of LA Guns, who was talking about leaving the band after they got rid of their manager. He was, you know, I guess there was an issue within the band, and I don't really know all the details, but he decided to stay. And, you know, when you have a band like LA Guns, who's had a resurgence over the last 4 years, or four albums, I should say, you know, to kind of recognize that, hey, you know, I'm not happy about certain aspects of things, but I understand where the band's going and what the band's doing, and what we're doing right now as a band is pretty magical. So, you know, to kind of say, you know what, I got to overcome those other things. That just speaks to the professionalism of Phil and staying within the band. And I just think of Thunder Mother. Obviously, there was an issues with Filippa, had with Guernica, and not being able to overcome that, or not being able to say, hey, you know what, once we get off tour, I'm going to decompress. I'm going to just be alone for however long I need to be until the tour starts again or whatever, because obviously, you know, I'm having issues and I need to figure out why I'm having issues. And maybe that just didn't happen, or didn't happen. Not maybe, it just didn't happen. So, you know, you guys end up leaving the band and you guys start to span the Gems. I guess the question before getting into stuff about your new band is, you know, the previous tour you did with the previous album or the previous dates that you were doing, was this a common thing that would kind of come up from now and then, you know, where you guys would have to walk on eggshells or there'd be issues?
I guess
my question is like, why now? Like why, you know,
after that's a question we all like wonder why now, because it's not like any of these issues or problems that we've had personality wise it's nothing new. And I have my theories to why now, and maybe I'll share them in a future biography, but it's not really the time and place to be speaking about those specific details. But I just don't, it's clear. I don't know how to say this without seeming like I'm in a bad person or something, but it's obvious that Filippa is not a team player and we want to be part of a team. And that's why we decided to keep on working together. And she has done this to, well, we've heard now 5 lineups. So we're the 5th group. Yeah. So how this happened to us. So you also understand that there's nothing unique about our experience. It's just that me and Emily, because we've been in the band with her for 6 years, have for some reason been very good at just putting up with strange behaviors all this time, because our passion and our dreams were bigger than that. We could compartmentalize, like we would go off and just be by ourselves, you know, just to avoid situations,
deal with yourself,
yeah,
exactly. Instead of act on it.
Yeah, we've actually had to deal with this for many, many years and have had to deal with it on our own. And yeah, it's been extremely toxic and draining on our bodies and stuff privately that has, you know, taken its toll. So I don't know. I as much as I'm heartbroken about this, I think we all knew that this could never be a long, long-term thing because of the personality that we had to deal with. But regardless of that, we were going to try to push it as far as we just could, you know. And both me and Emily and Mona has been with us now for 1.5 years. We've like set aside our own feelings so much. Like, yeah. We've not been feeling good. Like,
no.
Yeah. I don't know, Emily, maybe you want to.
It was just like, yeah, now that we're free, we realize even more how bad our mental health has been the last couple of years, and but we did it for the passion we had. I mean, we did it. We loved the band. We believed we were in a democracy, that we were having this band together, and it was really heartbreaking to realize now that she never wanted to share the band with us fully. No. And
it's more lies than the truth. Yeah. It's like we have our own experiences with all of it. And we already knew there was a lot of more lying than natural in a natural situation. But finding out lies that you like, things that were like preskriberat. I don't know the word, but like things that we just took as a fact many, many years ago from our first recording, we now found out that, oh, that was a lie too. Oh, that's weird. Like, that's things that we just believed everything until it wasn't possible to believe things anymore, basically. And like this, the statement that you sent me the other day, I didn't read it completely because it does make me feel sick to my stomach, and very, very sad that these lies and weird things are being told about my personality, which are so far away from who I am. But I'm targeted now. I guess I'm the biggest evil that she knows for the moment. And it's really tough. So that's why I was kind of like,
hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shouted Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm just so used to that person just lying about everything. And it's just crazy now because it's like, I respect you not liking me as a person. That's something that's, you can't like everyone and that's fine. But going above and beyond to lie and make up shit about my personality is so scary and just heartbreaking. And it adds to this like psychological, like this, like a mental abuse that I feel that we've all been through for all these years. So it's just, yeah, I'm just feeling so grateful that we have each other and that we get to start something new and fresh and on good terms and on equal ground. And it's just, everything is just so much healthier.
Yeah.
And we're happy. Like we rehearse, we're happy. We go out, we have a good time.
You guys are at the cafe right now while we're doing this interview. I've never done an interview where the band's at a cafe. It's kind of a
nice sorry thing. About that.
No, not at all.
It's just the best. We rehearse across the street, and our rehearsal space. Well, we share it with people, and so the next band was coming in, so we can stay there. Sorry.
I think everyone can relate to what you just said. We've all been in circumstances or in situations where we're involved in something and we're not happy, and you go, whether it's a job, whether it's in a relationship, whatever it is, you're just not happy and you're trying to work at it because you believe in something, but each day you get farther and farther from what you believe in because of the issues that are happening. And then when it's gone, or someone, you're fired from a job, or someone breaks up with you in a relationship, you do have that sense of relief, because you don't have to like worry about that stuff anymore. It's kind of like a huge weight. It's a cliche to say, but the huge weight is lifted off your shoulders and dealing with something or someone that hasn't made you happy in a long time, but you keep thinking that happiness is going to reoccur and it never does. And now you're in the situation where you're like, man, I kind of feel better actually when I'm kind of creating now. I don't feel like stressed out. There's something to be said about that.
Yeah. And Mona spoke it so wisely. We'd rather be happy on a small club than unhappy on a big arena.
Yeah, rather happy at a club show than anxiety at, in an arena.
Madison Square Garden.
But we're still aiming to play those big shows eventually. Yeah. But
happy.
Yeah, we want to
give us 1 year.
Yeah, give us 1 year.
We'll be there.
But
we were just saying, like, we've been feeling so shitty behind the scenes for so long, and we accomplished so much. So we're kind of like, you said this, Emily, that. I mean, I wonder how much we can accomplish now that we actually feel happy. I mean, I feel like the sky is the limit, really.
Well, out of something bad, something good always happens, right? And obviously, the good is you're creating with people that make you happy, that you're around people that make you happy, and that's going to come out in the music. But also, just you're feeling better, right? I mean, that's probably, I mean, aside from creating, you three as people feel better, even though what happened hurts you and going through all that, because it's, you know, it was unexpected. But there is something to be said about mental health that you guys have mentioned, that this was a struggle. This was an ordeal for a long period of time that finally came to a head. And this is what happened. And, you know, I used to, in my professional life, prior to me doing this podcast years ago, I used to work for a company and I used to teach a class, and the class was called How to Deal with Difficult People.
We should have taken your class.
No. The ironic thing about it, the irony of the class was everybody in the class was the difficult person. But they're difficult, they think everybody else is difficult. They don't understand that there's a common denominator. Right. No. Like, what's the common thread through all the people you interact with that you can't get along with? There's one thing. Do you realize it? And you know, it takes a lot of self-awareness for someone to say, you know, maybe it's me. Maybe it's, you know, maybe I need to.
No, like self-reflection at all.
From
the like people that are really difficult. It always, I mean, it takes two to tango, and these kind of people cannot like see anything wrong with their own behavior.
No, I just saw this quote about like people that are always the victims, you should like be careful, and that's kind of the situation that we've been in, because I look inwards first usually, and I'm very like, I've been thinking that I was going crazy and that I've been, you know, all these things, but I've been trying, I had to like get reassurance from my environment and like double check with people and like, am I crazy, you know, like, and
always go to yourself first, like, what have I done
exactly there? Like that, exactly, like how am I dealing with this, why is this problem? But that, you also get to a point with a certain type of person where it's like, and I think that that's for all of us, we just knew who we were dealing with. So we knew how to, you know, protect ourselves. But it's at the same time, you can't do that for too long because it eats you up from inside. And I feel like it's our... the stubbornness in our personalities that we want to have this dream happen so bad that you put up with so much more. Just like in a relationship, if you believe that this is the love of your life, you're gonna
that you're going to put up with so much more shit than you should have, and you don't understand it until you're out of it. So that's where we are today. And I think that us, all of us, have definitely looked inwards and tried to like figure out how is this happening and why, you know, is this something really wrong with me, or, you know, but in our case, we know for a fact, by like talking to people that have been, that went through exactly the same thing, that, yeah, there's, it's just an unfortunate situation, and it's just a personality type that's never going to change. And you got to be okay with that if you want to keep working in that.
I will say this, you know, in dealing with you directly, Guernica, you know, the past couple of times you've been on the show, I, you know, when you guys released the album, Black and Gold, I reached out and said, hey, you know, let's do a group, or let's do a preview of the album. And you were like almost adamant about having the other members of the band do the show, because you had done my show twice, and you were really wanted other people to like say, hey, you know, why don't you interview the other people in the band? I've done the show twice. And not a lot of bands do that, you know, and I will say that I was pleasantly surprised that, you know, you really were looking out for your bandmates when we were communicating.
Well, thank
Guernica
you.
Is always like that.
Thank you.
Guernica always thinks about us others.
Yeah.
Like, she's a very, you're not very like a singer in that way.
No, I'm not the stereotype of a singer, no.
You want to give all other people lights.
Like, yeah, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I believe that we are in a band. And when I say that we're in a band, and we've decided from the beginning that we're equal four members, and we all are your lead guitar, lead vocal, lead bass, lead drum, you know what I mean, like everyone is important and equal. And that's why it's important for me. And also, we've been self-managing a lot too, and I think that's just, I guess it's just part of my personality. I feel like it's, if we're a group, it's super important that everyone feels included and gets their spotlight, because I feel like it's ridiculous. I mean, I understand that I get a little maybe asked to do more interviews because I am the singer, and it's fine, I'll do them. But I feel like if there's an opportunity to open the door for the rest of the band to talk and, you know, share their feelings about the project, I think that it's super important too. So thank you. I'm happy to hear that.
No, for sure. I mean, there's probably, a handful of bands that I deal with that are like what you did. You know, they want other members of the band to be in. And I'm not saying their motives behind other things are for self-preservation or for themselves. I mean, I'm not saying at all, but it always is nice and refreshing when a band member does that and wants to include other band members in an interview or on the show or whatever we do here, what other podcasts do. So
then it's clear for you. Sorry. Then it's clear for you if you read statements about me being difficult or a diva or this and that, then you have proof of your own that that's not the case at all.
I will say that I was taken aback by that comment, because any dealing I've had with you has always been professional. It's never been difficult. Yeah. So
I would say that she is making a true effort to project, or she's projecting, I think it's a word, her entire personality to me, like onto me as we speak, in that statement, in everything that's happening. So yeah, it's very scary.
Last question about Thunder Mother before we get into the gems. In your opinion, we just kind of touched on this a little bit. Do you think that it was about where the attention on the band was going with you, Guernica, where maybe Philippa didn't feel like she was getting the attention that she wanted, which caused maybe some jealousy or some issues in that regard?
I'm sure that's a part of it. Absolutely. I think it's tough when you want it to be the me show, the whatever Philippa show, and you use the wrong vehicle for that to happen, because in a band, it's obvious that the singer is always going to get more attention because of the, I guess, position in the lineup. That's very sports related, but you know what I mean? Like, it's sure. just how it is. I'm the point guard, so it's going to, I'm going to automatically be, you know, getting some more, I mean, if I'm good. Yeah, sorry, I just went off on there, but yeah, I think that that's tough for her to, it's a hard pill for her to swallow that the singer always gets more attention. That's just how it is.
Unless your name is Eddie Van Halen, that's always going to happen, you know, because yeah. the singer is who people identify with first.
Yeah, but me and Eddie have the same birthday. I don't know if that has something to do with it. No.
Interesting.
That's weird.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's just weird.
but I mean, and there's also a case to be made, too, of knowing when to get out of the way when you're in a band. And what I mean by that is you just completed a successful North American tour. Things are headed in the right direction for Thunder Mother. It's like, hey, you know what? Even though I may not like a few things and I'm not happy about a few things, I'm happy of where we're going. So it's time to just, yeah. you know, be a wheel on the car that's moving forward, or be, you know, keep the train on the track. And I don't know. Sometimes people
are able to do that.
Yeah. And sometimes that's people self-sabotage, you know?
Yeah. I don't think that she believes that it's self-sabotage, but I do believe she's her own biggest enemy.
That happens a lot. So let's get into the gems.
Woo!
So
positive!
Out of Something Bad, Something Good Happens, and three members of the Thunder Mother make up the band The Gems. How is this going? When can we expect new music out from you guys?
We actually got the first mix of our first single today, so we listened to it on the rehearsal. I mean, things are just really, really exciting right now. I mean, we did not expect to have this much interest and support that we have. We're going to meet two different agents this week, and we are dealing with like 3 or 4 labels now. I mean, it's crazy. There's so much going on, and we're just really excited and happy.
Yeah. And next week, we're doing our first show, opening for a Night Bite Orchestra.
Oh, fuck, it's next week.
Yeah, it's next week. Oh, my God. No, but it's so exciting because it's like, I feel like there's people that we haven't, I mean, we might have known of them, but people are like coming up from everywhere wanting to help us and reaching out and believing in us and showing us so much love. And like Bjorn, the singer in Night Bite Orchestra, he's also the singer in a band called Soil Work. He is like our champion. Like he really wants to, he wanted us for the whole tour, but we chose one date because of whatever reasons. But it's just so nice to see that there's people in the music scene here in Sweden and in Germany and everywhere really that are just like so excited about what we're doing here.
Yeah, and supportive and really happy about the fact that we three continue playing together. For me, something new out of this.
Yeah, that we're not giving up. Like, you know, yeah. Not to go back something negative. We're not giving up. That's it.
Well, I was excited when I heard that you guys are putting together a band and know that there's going to be more music coming from all three of you. That, you know, was exciting for me and a lot of other people who are fans here in North America. We talk about Thunder Mother a lot with the albums and the music, and to know that there's going to be a faction of that band continuing, because here in America, we typically identify with the voice, the singer. And that's where a lot of us connect.
We got it. I just remembered the thing that I forgot before. Can I just say it real quick?
Yes.
oh my God, and I'm going to lose it again. Oh, holy shit. Yeah, that in Thunder Mother. Oh my God, I lost it again. What the fuck is wrong with my brain?
We did a lot of the songwriting, and we're gonna.
No, oh yeah, because people thought that Filippa wrote all the songs. That's something that we realized after leaving the band. but we've been really big part of the songwriting. So that's also a big thing for the solo stuff as well as for the gems, to show people really how much influence we've had on the music and the evolution of Thunder Mother and all these things that we all, because we don't really talk about ourselves as songwriters as the way that some people do. So for us, it's really, I feel like it's a fresh start for us to really show people, like, look, this is what we brought to that band, and now we're bringing it to this new band. Like,
bring it to
ourselves. We're bringing it everywhere. Sorry, there, my, I don't know if I have ADHD, but my brain definitely has wires.
Maybe.
I definitely have a hard time getting to the point. Sorry. Yeah, but here we go.
It's also like, I mean, yeah, we, the three of us, did contribute a lot to the Thunder Mother sound. The two latest albums.
Yeah.
I mean, if people like Thunder Mother, they're gonna like the gems, because we are the sound of that. I mean,
say what you're gonna say about the new song, the mix of it.
The new song is kind of a mix between Burn, the song Burn, and like Iron Maiden.
So yeah. Deep Purple and Maiden.
Yeah,
have a love chat.
Very energetic. Before today, I participated in a guitar podcast, and I said the song is like a sword swinging metal song.
You're gonna slay dragons.
Really good vibes from
yeah.
It. Because you just want to ride a horse and swing a sword.
Yeah, it's way more heavy metal.
That's fantastic. When you guys came together to start this band, and you sit down and you're looking at each other and you're in a room or wherever you're at, what did that feel like?
I mean, it was kind of like a dream. Like, just, when the three of us realized that, okay, we're actually all on board. Three of us, we're going to start something new. That felt so wonderful because, yeah.
Rehearsing has been a little bit of an anxiety. Like, everything has been tainted. Everything that we love to do has been a little bit tainted for so many years. So to be at that first rehearsal and just look around, it's kind of euphoric in a sense, like just pure happiness. We're here. There's no drama. We can create. It was like such a amazing moment. And that's how I felt when we did the first songwriting session as well. And
yeah.
Everything has just felt like
easy
and like, whoa, is music finally going to be starting to be fun again? Like, what? Are we deserving of this? Yes.
Sounds like we
left the cult.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
was there a decision on the direction of the music, or did that just come naturally and organically?
I mean, we are the musicians we are. And we still like the music we liked before. I think we all agreed on that we wanted to stay in the classic rock genre, but we take away all the AC/DC influences just to be like, have something different. And we're much more open-minded to a more modern sound. So it's going to be something like that.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens when our creativity gets let loose.
Yeah, and who knows, we might add some AC/DC, but we just set it as a first thing to just pick that little element out of the mix. Yeah. So, yeah, we have Zeppelin.
I mean, we have a totally new band now, so maybe it's going to be a bit, like the songs are going to be a bit different from each other in the beginning, just before we defined our niche.
But we've only said that it should be classic rock, because yeah, that's where we all our hearts is. Like, we love all classic rock, basically.
But we will definitely play with different genres in the beginning, I think, like different ideas and such things. Just we need to try out different stuff.
Yeah.
And I think also because we finally can try out new stuff. We're not stuck in a box anymore.
No.
I also feel like the last couple of albums, there were moments, the last couple of albums with Thundermother, there were moments where you got away from that AC/DC-esque type of sound. Like, you know, I think of the song I Don't Know You off the last album, you know, which was more, which was way far away from the AC/DC influence. You know, so I think of stuff like that, and I think of stuff like
besides the intro was very AC/DC.
Sure, sure. But you know, with the chorus and everything, you know, that was more, you know, I don't want to say pop rock, but maybe pop hard rock. You know, we had more of a kind of a Def Leppard, Bon Jovi influence to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes me think of Bon Jovi. What was the question?
Well, I was just saying that, you know, there were elements prior to that, and then it sounds like you're going to really kind of pursue. Well, there's no boundaries, basically, with what you guys can accomplish.
That's true. That's true. And we definitely want to keep doing more songs like that, like I Don't Know You, and more things that could be heard on the radio, and more people could.
I can reach take, out of yeah, the rock.
Exactly. That was the goal in Thundermother, or we wanted to. That was like one of the goals in Thundermother to like branch out and be available for people that don't necessarily think they like rock. Because most of the time people do like rock, they just think that rock is like super metal or something. But regardless of that, like I feel like we want to do something that is for everyone. So we were going to continue doing that, but then we were going to throw in a little. We were joking around. We want to do like a Saxon type song, and we want to do
Queen
a
type of song.
Queen type song. So right now we're just trying to like, you know. But this first single, like, is that it's more. It's like a Maiden meets Deep Purple.
And when will that single be out?
Well, we wish, or our hope is for it to be out like the end of April. But since we haven't really decided on a label yet, I think that it might be delayed a little bit, but
no.
Maybe no.
Yeah, I think we
can open, yeah.
April.
People need happy, positive, uplifting rock and roll. So we need to put the song out for everyone.
They need to hurry up and like work fast for a new label.
Yeah, exactly.
Kick their ass.
Now is the plan then to follow that up with an album? What's the plans for that?
Yeah,
actually, I mean, maybe release one more single before, and then hopefully we can release something. I mean, October, November, an album. That's our dream.
The goal is
the goal.
So right now we're just focusing on writing as much as possible, because we do want to have our first album out 2023, so people really understand that we're here,
we're serious,
and we're serious, we mean business.
Well, you are right to kind of jump on that, because you know, in this day, with people's attention spans being what they are, it's very easy to forget people, you know, and forget artists if you're not in front of them. So I think it's smart to really kind of go after it. Forget after
also,
it, an album.
We worked so hard on building Thundermother to what it became that we deserve to use that momentum as much as Filippa is now doing it for her herself. You know, so I feel like we reached so many new fans and people when we were on the North American tour, and we want them to see us and understand that we were a crucial part of Thundermother, and we are now going on our own, doing our own thing and creating music that is very similar. So if you like Thundermother, you're going to probably love us as well. And yeah, keep going with that.
The labels that you're talking with, are they European labels? Do they have any presence here in North America?
They're European, but I don't really know how big range, but I guess all of them wants to have us worldwide.
Yeah, I think two of them have a good relationship with labels. Like they have something over there, more than our previous one.
Mm, okay.
Well, that's exciting. I can't wait. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate the time and I appreciate the conversation. And, you know, as I've stated, heartbreaking to learn the news, but exciting to hear where you guys are going and what you guys are doing. And I can't wait.
No, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us. And yeah, we let you know when the music is out.
Definitely. I definitely, you know, want to check it out and want to hear it. I can't wait. You know, 2023 is shaping up to be a big year in music, and it's nice to hear that you guys will be included in that. And then it all starts from there. You know, I mean, I think the exciting thing is yes, you're a new band, but you have the experience over the last however many years with Thunder Mother, where you guys know more people, have more contacts, and you have people that believe in you, which is hard when you have an unknown entity. You guys are a known entity and a great one at that. So it should definitely help you get to the steps and get to the places that you need to go.
Thank you.
Hopefully.
I think we're going to just keep like we did in Thunder Mother. We just work so hard that eventually people know you.
Yeah.
We're going to do the same here.
Well, it's also nice to know too, that you guys aren't just going to go away. There's going to be more music. There's going to be more things happening and going on. And that's exciting for a fan of your music and a fan of who you guys are.
Well, thank you.
I should say gals, who you gals are.
No. Gals.
Just be patient and give us 1 year and we will see you at the arenas.
In 1 year, we will be opening Madison Square Garden. No. Eventually, we just like humble beginnings.
Hey, it's great to have big goals, right? And big expectations, because that's how you get to where you want to get. But I think the biggest thing that you'll take with you is, you know, knowing what happened and how to avoid that in the future, and what you guys need to do to stay together as a family, as sisters, and as a rock and roll band.
Exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't kill you, makes you stronger.
That could be the next song.
That is a true
album name.
That is a true statement. And we are stronger than ever. And it's nice that we have each other basically for this next chapter.
Yeah.
Cause now at least if we do what we always dreamt of doing, which is playing arenas and what we started doing in Thunder Mother, now we could do it in a setting where we all feel good about it and could be happy doing it, and we also have a good work ethic and we respect each other, and so all these things are in place now for us to take it all the way.
Well, I can't wait.
Such a cheesy.
and I know there's a lot of people here in the U.S. that can't wait either. So
that's exciting.
Yeah. We can't wait to go to Chicago, and Mona has to take us to these blues places.
Yeah.
Well, the other issue I have with you is the fact, the pizza choice that you made when you were in Chicago.
Oh, the deep dish.
Yeah.
Next time we'll try the other one. No.
That's not the place to go. That's not.
Well, next time we're in Chicago, then you'll have to show us.
Yeah.
I will definitely do that. When I saw you ate at Giordano's, it did break my heart a little bit. It was like that's not the place. It's overrated, as we say here.
Which didn't know.
Which one is the place then, or what?
Oh, yeah, there's several. Right. Like there's a place. When you guys come to Chicago, it is on. I will take all three of you.
We're going to have pizza.
To the real place.
I mean, I really want to go back to Chicago. Chicago was my favorite city, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great town.
Nice.
It was so beautiful by the lake.
It was beautiful to walk around, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Really, clean city.
Well, there are parts that aren't so clean, but the main parts are really great. Chicago, I mean, I've been all over, and Chicago is still my favorite city, even though, I mean, of course, I'm biased because I'm from here. But yeah, next time
we have places that are not so clean, especially my apartment.
Well, next time you're in Chicago, I'm taking you guys to the place that the locals go to.
Hell yeah.
So
pizza. I'm excited. I love pizza. It's a favorite.
I mean, pizza's never really bad, though, right? I mean, even when it's bad, it's still kind of good.
Yeah, true. It always works.
Well, Emily, Mona, and Gernika, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. I appreciate the conversation and can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. I'm Jay Scott. This has been another episode of The Hook Rocks, the Ultimate Rock Community Podcast. Thanks again to Emily, Gernika, and Mona. It was a blast and cannot wait till we hear some new music. Take care of each other. We'll talk soon. Stay safe. And thanks for listening. Take care.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.